Welcome to Season 3 of the Chai Break Podcast. We're excited to engage in more inspiring chaivisations around our cross-cultural experiences.
This season, we're diving deep into an often gray area and a taboo in our culture, mental health and well-being. So, join us on our mission to break the barriers and get comfortable in those often uncomfortable spaces. Hello, hello, and welcome back to the Chai Break Podcast. We've had an incredible season 3 so far, focused on mental health in the South Asian space. We've talked to therapists, psychologists, psychotherapists, and multidisciplinary professionals, talking about everything from our own mental health journey, the stigma associated with mental health, how to normalize these conversations, what to look for when seeking therapy, maternal mental health, and many more. In sharing space with so many incredibly brave women, if it's one thing we've learned, is that everyone's journey is unique, and so are the ways they heal. Which brings me to our guest for today, Ikta Agarwal. A licensed clinical health worker, Ikta is a distinguished mental health leader, pioneering holistic therapies at Shakti Therapy and Healing Services, and addressing the unique needs of the South Asian community as the founder of Jiva Mental Health. She combines ancient Eastern practices with modern science to deeply heal and transform lives, focusing on sustainable mental health, mental wellness, rather than temporary solutions. Her approach not only tackles traditional symptoms, but also enhances personal and communal well-being, acknowledging the deep connection between individual health and community vitality. Ikta's work is especially dedicated to reducing the cultural stigma and fostering open, supportive environments where individuals feel empowered to pursue their healing journey. As a seasoned speaker and advocate, Ikta's efforts extend beyond therapy into broader community engagement, where she promotes mental wellness across diverse platforms. Hi, Ikta, and welcome to the Chai Break Podcast. It is an absolute pleasure today to share this chaivisation with you.
Hi, Swetha. It's such an honor to be here, and I'm so excited for our discussion today.
So before we get into the meat of the episode, I think one of the things that I'm most curious about with all of our guests is the backstory of, you know, how we got here, how you got here. So start us off and tell us the story behind founding Shakti Therapy and what really inspired you.
Yeah, I love that. You know, every backstory, there's always a little bit of pain that drives our purpose.
True.
And mine isn't unique there. So my journey in the mental health space is really deeply rooted in my own experience of trauma and witnessing mental health struggles within my own South Asian family. From a very young age, I learned to wear this like mask and hide all these scars of pain to cope with the silent and secretive struggles of my mom's experience and her mental health, my dad's challenges, and all that comes with being an immigrant and moving to the States for that American dream.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, you know, in the South Asian community, we're taught to handle pain with silence from such a young age. And it's meant to be protective,
mm-hmm,
to not
mm-hmm.
bring the shame to the mm-hmm. family. And, you know, the duality of that is it often leads us to feeling isolated and unsupported, dismissed, unseen.
Mm-hmm.
So for many years, you know, I believed that by dedicating myself to helping others, and that's how Shakti formed, that I could somehow heal my own hidden wounds, that I didn't need to speak it into existence or address it, but just by helping others, that sense of community in the South Asian space, you know, would be what would heal me. And very, very quickly, I learned that that was not the truth. You know, my turning point really happened with the realization that healing does not thrive in solitude. It actually thrives in connection. And it's not only connection with others, but connection truly with ourselves, the parts of us that we hide from other people, that we hide sometimes even from ourselves. And this epiphany really is what also formed Jiva Mental Health, mm-hmm. a South Asian nonprofit. I want to bring community together. I want to have a platform to be able to share my own challenges and normalize them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, you know, that's how both of these came together. And my why is really driven by this strong desire to ensure that no one feels like they must face these dark moments alone like I did. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I envision a world where no one has to hide their pain to feel accepted, to feel loved. And I'm dedicated to creating spaces where the whole self is welcomed, the full spectrum of the human experience, the good, the bad, the ugly, the beautiful.
I think what you said, like you said, it sounds very familiar. You know, we've heard several South Asians, you know, speak of their own, you know, generational trauma, childhood trauma, and so much more. And I think I relate to it because that is my story as well. And that is exactly what inspired me to start the season and dedicate an entire season to it, because I saw there was a need. And I think there is, the more you talk about it, the better. Because it's almost never enough, you know, to squash that stigma that is surrounding mental health.
Yeah.
And as you were speaking, something just occurred to me, because your practice, you call it Shakti Healing Services, right? The therapy side of it. And Shakti means strength. And when you talked about your journey of, you know, hiding that pain and masking that pain, in that realm, that is seen as strength. As masking it and moving on and being that, you know, soldier, that is seen as strength. But on the flip side, when you actually realize that it takes that exact Shakti, that strength and courage to come out and say, you know what, I need help.
Yeah.
And to seek out that help, it takes so much strength. So what are your thoughts on that as a professional?
Gosh, I really enjoyed how you show what I call the duality. Everything mm-hmm. is mm-hmm. duality. And so there's this light side of Shakti, which is this like inner motivation and inner strength. And then there is the darker side where it's you shield up and you warrior up and you retreat inwards. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's really this, Shakti truly is this balance of retreating inwards and coming out. And where is that play and that flow of this primordial cosmic energy? And Shakti is this dynamic force that moves through the entire system and the universe and through your body. And it represents the different forms of power, the different forms of force that's within each and every one of us. And the duality of it is it's associated with creativity, but the other side, it's also associated with strength. And those two things can be seen as polarities, but it's really this movement and flow. A big part of why I called it Shakti is it's seen as a divine feminine energy mm-hmm. that runs through all things. Mm-hmm. And it's about manifestation and embracing what you said, the courage inside. But the way to do that is to understand that life is full and there's many gray colors in it. And our role when we awaken the Shakti is to move through those gray colors comfortably. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so, you know, as a psychotherapist and a founder, I see this as a profound act of self-awareness and self-compassion. It really requires a person to confront their own vulnerabilities, to be authentic, mm-hmm. and to break away from these societal and culture norms that are often put on us to encourage us to hide from our struggles. Mm-hmm. And this facade of, I've got it, I can do it on my own, was valued once upon a time. And I actually don't think it is today. Today, it's that asking for help. It yeah. is that vulnerability. Mm-hmm. It's that saying, hey, I'm not okay right now to have this conversation. And that not only gives yourself permission and your nervous system permission to rest, but it also gives the other person permission to come back to you and say, oh my gosh, thank you, me too. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Right? And so mm-hmm. the inner strength of Shakti is the testament that you give through your own actions and through the dynamic forces of the inner outer experience.
That is so beautiful because in my own mental health journey, talking to all of these professionals and, you know, following all these people, I think the part that was always missing is what you just talked about, which is holistic, that holistic approach. Because mental health is just seen, and well-being, they say, and wellness, they say. But I feel like I've never really been able to connect those dots together. And you put it so beautifully. And speaking of which, in when I learned about you and your practice, that is one of the most, one of the things that actually stood out to me was your approach, you know.
Thank you.
Yeah. So what really motivated you to integrate holistic methods and, you know, conventional mental health, you know, therapy and treatment, et cetera?
Yeah, you know, I think it's, we live in a world where everything is in the gray, but it's communicated as black and white. You have a mental health disorder, go see a therapist. Yes. And there's so many other options, right? There's self-help books. There's a psychiatrist. There's a coach. There's personal development workshops. And we lose that gray. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you want to be authentic, be vulnerable. Great. But there's also times where if you're overly vulnerable, it's going to push people away, right?
Yeah.
So you've got to find that flow and that fullness. And part of that fullness is understanding what is all of that that exists inside of you that you can resource. So that's just one. And you know, the other is growing up South Asian, I have just witnessed the impact of cultural duality on mental health. 100%. I moved from Africa to London to the United States, and then all around I've grown up South Asian with a Hindu background and a Sikhism background. And so this need for inclusive approach that represented my culture, that represented my religion, my spirituality, became more and more important. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when we think about Hinduism and just the language Hindi, we have hundreds of words mm-hmm. of love. Love with a friend, romantic love, new love, love for a flower. I mean, there's just beautiful yes. ways and perspectives to describe it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But when we think of worry or when we think of anxiety, there's maybe two or three words yeah. and they don't even grasp the extent of the emotions and what's going through.
Yeah, it's like sadness and anger is like, that's like, you know, the spectrum.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And worry and anxiety are the same words, but they're such different experiences.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so when we think about that, when we don't have these words, what happens is it goes inside our body and it needs an outlet. So we're not speaking it, it goes inwards. So the holistic approach becomes even more important. It's not just the mind. It's mind, body, spirit. Mm-hmm. So we have to pull some of that depression, that stress, that anxiety out of our bones and fascia, then muscles, because it penetrated so deep inside. So that's, I think, one piece of what made me realize, like, gosh, fixing the mind is like pulling out the rotten apple.
Yeah.
From a basket, if it's contaminated the others, eventually it's going to pass around. Mm-hmm. And I love this analogy. It's fixing the mind is putting out the fire. And what we do at Shakti Therapy with this holistic approach, we catch the arsonist. So it's just no more fire.
I love it. I love that.
Yeah.
So in talking about body, mind, and spirit, how do you then incorporate elements like nutrition, exercise, and lifestyle changes into your holistic approach?
Yeah, that is so great. So a lot of my clients will come to me and they're like, you're not a normal therapist. You have this like coaching therapy ability. And I think they're both important. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. My favorite quote is, everyone says knowledge is power. I'm going to pause on that and I'm going to disagree kindly. For me, knowledge is the step to power. The application of knowledge is power because you're taking what you're learning and you're applying it. And with therapy, that's so important. We usually just get lost in the knowledge part. And what the coaching does is it allows me to apply it. It allows me to incorporate things like nutrition, exercise, and lifestyle changes. When it comes to nutrition, many people don't realize that mental health begins in the gut.
You said it.
Did you know that, by the way?
No, I did not, but it makes so much sense.
Right?
It perfectly makes so much sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's all tied into that idea of the gut feeling.
Yes.
And
yes, yes.
How anxiety starts there.
Yeah. Yeah, because why I relate to that so much is also because I follow a lot of Ayurveda and I'm a Vata personality. So you can imagine my anxiety is like on a high, just like, you know, there's so much air and like, you know,
right.
low digestive fire, like Agni in my belly. So I feel like it's so connected. And on days when it's off, like I can feel it, like mentally, physically, it's all there. So yeah, I'm so with you on this.
And more reason for it to be holistic,
yes,
right? Because
yes.
we've got to look at that. And 90% of serotonin, which is like the feel-good feeling, and it's also responsible for things like depression and anxiety, is produced in the gut.
Mm.
And so what you eat impacts it. When you eat it, especially if you're looking at Ayurveda,
yes,
right?
100%.
If it's summer, things to eat. Versus winter,
yeah,
things.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
yeah.
all of that yeah. makes a difference. Mm-hmm. And nowadays, you know, they're saying, hey, sitting is the new cancer. Sitting is the new challenge that we're trying to manage.
Mm-hmm.
So exercise is just a no-brainer. And exercise doesn't have to be this wild thing of always needing to go to the gym or playing an intense sport. Walking is one of the most underrated exercises.
And I think our community and our culture, like, you know, like all they do is walk and walk. I remember actually when I moved to this country, I would see everyone running and I'm like, wait, what am I doing wrong here? Like, you know, because
yeah.
I was never into running. I still am not, you know,
yeah.
but like walking was something that I saw everyone do.
You know, yes, South Asians were so good about eating and going for a walk, and that surpasses age.
Exactly.
Right?
Yes.
Like, yeah. It's so nice that people are doing that. And at Shakti Therapy, we also offer walking therapy. That way, you're moving and building all of these endorphins mm-hmm. while you're expressing emotions.
Mm-hmm.
So there's
mm-hmm.
a release not only with talking, but also with walking that ends up happening.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so you can see like lifestyle changes are a big part of what I do. And I talk a lot about sleep. Sleep is so critical in our mental health and how we really process some of our traumas, how we release it. A lot of that happens in the sleep process. So by, you know, combining all of these elements, we're looking at, again, the whole picture. The mind is impacted by the body and the spirit, and this approach really helps my clients thrive in just all areas and not just mentally and emotionally.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, considering in the mental health space, your approach might be fairly new. You know, so I'm sure you get skeptics all the time.
Yeah.
So what are some of the common misconceptions about holistic therapy that you encounter and how do you address them?
Yeah, you know, I think it's very healthy when people call me out. And I also call myself out sometimes because I'm like, am I doing the right thing? Is this really true? So all of that's so important. One of my favorite ones is, oh, you know, holistic therapy is woo-woo and it's all about crystals and chanting. And the irony of all of this is I'm a crystal healer. And so it makes me laugh because I'm like, what are the chances that I would be a healer and I'm also doing this? And, you know, there are so many people out there who just practice one tiny modality of holistic healing, and then they call it holistic healing.
Mm-hmm.
And so that misconception is a misconception for those situations. But when folks are practicing multiple modes of healing and modalities, mm-hmm. then there is this sense of holistic yeah. in it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, while elements like crystal healing and chanting are incredibly supportive for some people,
mm-hmm.
they're also not for everybody. And it is not what creates holistic therapy as holistic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's one. You know, the other one is this even real? Which, when you talk about spirit, we can't see it. We can't always feel it. So that question that myth also makes a lot of sense, especially when you compare it to traditional therapy, where it's evidence-based with certain modalities. There's a process. Mm-hmm. There's, you know, steps that you take. You can see the goal. Did you accomplish it? What not?
Yeah.
Big portion of it is providing my clients, you know, research and showing them how things like mindfulness, trauma-focused yoga, like we talked about, nutrition, mm-hmm. aromatherapy, all of those things may not directly impact the mind right away, but they impact our other senses. They impact touch, heart, soul, smell. And if everything is connected, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. it's going to eventually yeah. impact the mind.
Yeah.
The wild thing is the Western world is so new to this concept of holistic mm-hmm, healing, mm-hmm. which you picked up on very quickly when you said it's fairly new.
Yeah, yeah.
Eastern yes. world have been doing yep. this for years, and yep. now we call it ancient therapy, exactly. right? Like it's a new
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, true.
But if we look at the facts, it's been here for thousands of years, for before our mm-hmm. lifetimes, before mm-hmm. our families' lifestyles. So I really like to encourage an open conversation and an open mind, and there's room for you to be right with your perspectives on holistic, and there's room for us to be right. And where do we find
yeah.
that happy medium for the mm-hmm. both of us? Mm-hmm.
I think what I'm getting, you know, one of the benefits of your holistic approach from what you are saying is the fact that this holistic approach, as opposed to the, you know, regular conventional one, is something you can completely tailor depending on who you're talking to, like which client you're talking to. And I feel like in that sense, it can completely benefit that person. Right? Because I feel like whether it's, you know, issues very specific to our South Asian diaspora and, you know, South Asians or otherwise, it does not have to go one route by the book, you know, like, because like you said, you know, not every healing, holistic healing modality or alternative modality has to benefit every single person, right? Yeah. So you can pick and choose.
It's almost healthier that it doesn't yeah. go one yeah. route, because we're so complicated mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. we get to address the different parts of us in different ways.
Yeah.
And I love how you pointed that out.
Yeah. So where do you see Shakti going from here?
Yeah, I've been doing a lot of thinking about that. And one of my big goals with Shakti therapy is to be the one known South Asian ketamine therapist in Southern California. So I want to break down these misconceptions of drugs are bad and how do we use some of the modalities of psychedelic therapy to actually help us elevate, mm. to shut down the ego, the default mode network, and tap into our heart. So that's one. The other is I am on a mission to impact a million lives before the end of 2025. So that thank you for having me, because anyone who listens is a life impacted.
Yes, yes.
So that's
definitely
podcast, Instagrams, mm-hmm. therapy sessions, you know, conferences, whatever it mm-hmm, may be. Mm-hmm. That's a big goal for us. And an impact is just, did you walk away with something that you're going to think
mm-hmm,
about?
Mm-hmm.
So aside from that, you know, I want to continue to grow the practice. The goal is to have a clinician from as many of the big backgrounds and cultures so they can represent and speak to it.
Right.
So if there is a Chinese American who comes, there's a Chinese American therapist. If there is a Bengali person who comes, they don't have to take someone South Asian. Mm. They could even take someone who has a Bengali background and knows the nuances of that community.
Yeah, that is so important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. That way we don't bucket ourselves into only South Asian.
Right.
We get to go and play with that a yeah. bit more.
Yeah. Thank you so much. This has been so insightful. But before we wrap up, let's play a game of rapid fire.
Ooh.
You know the drill.
Okay.
Okay. Are you ready?
I am.
Okay.
Wait, question. So do I just answer or do I explain?
You can answer and maybe I'll prod you if you have to.
Perfect.
Yeah. Okay, cool. What is one book you recommend to anyone on their mindfulness journey and mental health?
The Queen's Code by Alison Armstrong.
and why?
The Queen's Code teaches women how to treat men differently because they have a different way of thinking and a different language. Mm. When we do that, not only does it help men, but it also helps us as women to leverage our feminine energy and to get what we want. So it's a win and win. And it's, I've never seen something like this. It's a fun read. It feels like, you know, you're sitting there reading someone's story. So it's just very enjoyable as well.
I'm definitely adding it to my list. So as a professional yourself, what is one self-care practice you cannot do without?
Muay Thai. I do this 3 times a week. And as a feminine female, we've got to have an outlet for our masculine so it doesn't come out in our relationships and friendships. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's punching that bag, creating discipline, being so present.
Awesome. If you could give one piece of advice to someone starting their mental health journey, what would it be?
To connect deeply with their inner wisdom. Just as we pass down intergenerational trauma, and you get that from your ancestors, they've also passed down intergenerational wisdom. We seek answers and validation outside of ourselves all the time, but true healing really begins by going in here, going into your heart and listening to that voice. Courage doesn't happen when you have the answers. It happens when you're ready to face the difficult questions and move inside. So, yeah.
So beautifully said. Since you're on the Chai Break podcast, how do you like your chai, Ikta?
So this is a fun one. I drink chai every single day. Guilty for having maybe 2 or 3 cups a day. When I'm in work mode, I need it strong with no sugar. When
chai.
I want to curl up and read a book, throw in a little spoon or two of monk fruit, sweeten it, and just savor it.
Amazing. And what is your favorite snack to go with it? I mean, you cannot have chai without a snack, right?
Man, this snack is dangerous. It's chakris. You give me a packet.
Oh, yes. As I'm South Indian, so yes.
It is so dangerous. Mm-hmm. It's done in an hour, the whole packet. It's my favorite. What is your favorite snack?
Oh, actually, definitely chakri. So we call it chakli in South, you know, in Canada.
Uh-huh.
And the thing is, I'm so spoiled. My mother-in-law actually makes the best chakli. She sends me giant tubs of it from India. And I'm telling you, we fight over it. Me, my husband, my daughter, everyone wants in on it.
Oh my gosh, just add one more because I'm coming over and fighting for that.
It is so good. It's the best. Yeah. And especially when you dip it in chai. Oh.
You're making my mouth salivate now.
Thank you so much for this chivization. It has been a delight to have you on the show. And actually, this is our last episode of the season. So I'm so happy we're ending it on a high note with this chivization.
Wonderful. I'm so excited. Well, thank you very much for this opportunity. I feel grateful to be closing with you. That is so cool.
Yeah. And for all our listeners, check out our show notes and social media channels to connect with Ikta and the work she's doing and join her community where healing is integrated, respected, and celebrated. On that note, with a whole lot of gratitude, we say goodbye to season 3. Be sure to follow us on all our social media channels where the chivization continues. Bye for now.
Bye.
Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed our chivization as much as we did. Please let us know what you think. It means the world to us.
Yes, and join the chivization on our social media channels, where we discuss the many facets of mental health and well-being and share our collective thoughts. If there's a topic you'd like us to talk about, write to us at chaibreakpodcast@gmail.com or DM us on our Instagram account.